This is the time we normally set aside for just praying out and crying out to God. Some suggestions are here. You can use this as a time to confess sin. And this is important. If it's not something you've done regularly or do regularly, it's actually fairly important. That's how we receive forgiveness. We thank God for his provision for us. We ask God to change our hearts. But another path you could take is simply meditate on Scripture and pray on the Scriptures that has been suggested here. But honestly, any Scripture that you feel drawn to. You can see it's 1 Samuel chapter 2. And anyway, please reach out to God with your prayers. I hope that time with God was a blessing to you and to God. As far as announcements go, there will be a spring cleanup this coming Saturday. Please bring your hands and tools. We do these twice a year, just for background, for those of you who aren't familiar, just to get the property cleaned up and beautified so they can the property can serve us better and be attractive to those in the neighborhood. We ask you to, again, just note that in your calendar. It starts at 11. The youth on that same day, later in the afternoon, will be meeting with two other EFCA churches in the area. The last time this happened, it was apparently a roaring success, and so that we're going to do that. Next month, so again, notice June 22nd, Jennifer Howard, my wife, and Leah Tilson would like to invite any ladies who have craft projects, knitting, crocheting, any kind of yarn work, painting, whatever you consider is your thing. They would like to give you the opportunity to come here and show each other what you're doing, get advice. My wife will be teaching crochet to anyone who's interested. And if your yarn work, if you're looking at a pattern and your yarn work is, something's throwing you off, there should be somebody there that can help. In addition, was there anything else I missed, my dear? Since you're right there, I could talk to you. All right. Oh gosh, yes. Ethan and Anna Drew, is that how we should be addressed at this time? Nice. Finally, let's see. You probably deserve for me to bring you up to date on the pastor search. Yes. So, anybody interested in that?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Fine. All right. We just had a candidate join us last Friday and Saturday, so yesterday and the day before, in person. He and his family joined us. They came up from Pennsylvania, and we spoke to them, got to know them. No decision has been made yet. We're very specifically chosen to pray and consider this pastor before making any decisions, and we are in the middle of that time right now. There is, in addition, we had 20 other candidates that the elders have reviewed, and we've narrowed that down to 6 that we have, and we've reached out to 4 so far. There's 2 more that we're still in the middle of considering. So we have up to, say, 4 to 6 other candidates in the queue. And if my numbers aren't exactly right, forgive me, but they're close to being right. Aside from that, I don't think there's anything else, but this is, if there's another announcement that's that I've been missed that somebody thinks ought to be like, such as a wedding, I appreciated that, thank you. It is? Happy Mother's Day, honey. Anyway, yes, thank you. All right, am I being too flippant up here? Or is this okay? All right, good. I kind of know, you guys know me and I know you, so, all right. All right, time for God's Word. Wow, you guys are on the ball. This is out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 9. On one occasion, Hannah got up after they had ate and drank at Shiloh. The priest Eli was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. Making a vow, she pled, "Lord of armies, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut." While she continued praying to the Lord's presence, Eli watched her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, and though her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to be drunk? Get rid of your wine." "No, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman with a broken heart. I haven't had any wine or beer. I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Don't think of me as a wicked woman. I have been praying from the depths of my anguish and resentment." Eli responded, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request that you have made of him." "May your servant find favor with you," she replied. Then Hannah went on her way, and she ate and no longer looked despondent. The next morning, Elkanah and Hannah got up early to worship before the Lord. Afterward, they returned home to Ramah. Then Elkanah was intimate with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. After some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, because she said, "I requested him of the Lord." When Elkanah and all of his household went up to make the annual sacrifice and his vow offering to the Lord, Hannah did not go and explained to her husband, "After the child is weaned, I will take him to appear in the Lord's presence and to stay there permanently." Her husband Elkanah replied, "Do what you think is best and stay here until you've weaned him. May the Lord confirm your word." So Hannah stayed there and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him with her to Shiloh, as well as a 3-year-old bull, half a bushel of flour, and a clay jar of wine. Though the boy was still young, she took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. "Please, my Lord," she said, "as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you and prayed to the Lord. I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked for him, I now give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." Then he worshiped the Lord there. This is God's word.
Thank you, Aaron, for bringing that word for us. I just looked at my batteries, and I did put new batteries in this morning, but they must have been almost dead because I just looked at it, and I only have one cell left. So if they die, then we'll have to take a quick break and grab more batteries just to give you a little heads up. But good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you're here. Junior Church, you may be dismissed. And mothers, thank you for being here today. Happy Mother's Day. I do have a quick video. Wyatt, if you could pull up that video first, that'd be fantastic.
All right, I appreciate it. All right, I love you too, Mom. Okay, bye-bye.
That is so sweet. That's what it's all about. You're talking to your mom.
About what?
Well, it's Mother's Day, right? So you're talking to your mom, huh?
Yeah, it's Mother's Day.
You didn't know it was Mother's Day?
No, I needed something.
Do you not talk to your mom?
Oh, well, I do when I need something.
Well, when's the last time you just called your mom to say, "Hey, Mom, I love you"?
I needed something ironed.
Oh, buddy, it's Mother's Day. You don't call your mom to ask for something on Mother's Day. I mean, come on, 122 million people phone their moms on Mother's Day.
I just did. I'm good.
Well, but you asked for something.
But because I needed something.
Well, when's the last time you just said, "Hey, Mom, I love you. Hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day. Woo! Mom,
oh, I did. I was like, "Hey, I need you to iron this. I love you." Yeah. Oh, I told her, "I'm good.
Oh,
I'm
buddy.
Good. I'm good."
Oh, what else do you say to your mom?
What are you having for dinner tonight? Because I want to see if I can go over. Sometimes if I'm going to be gone, I'll be like, "Hey, do you mind coming by my house and just changing the sheets?" You know.
Aren't you married?
Yeah, but I wouldn't ask that of my wife. That's stupid. You get in trouble. So anyway, yeah.
Well, for all you moms out there, happy Mother's Day, and thank you for what you do, even if you have sons like this one that just don't get it.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, so happy Mother's Day. I don't know who Skit Guys are or anything like that, but I just thought it was a funny video and I wanted to share that with you guys. So for all you kids out there that you forgot, wish your mom a happy Mother's Day. Don't just call them to ask them to iron your shirt. Tell them that you love them or change your sheets, yes. That's why you have a wife. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. I am purely joking. I do more laundry probably around the house than Chrissy does, so I'm not that type of person at all. But how many of you have a mother? Raise your hand if you have a mother. All right, everyone's hand should be up. Every single person has a mother, right? And we are all here today and celebrating this day for Mother's Day. The only reason why we're here is because of our mother, right? If we didn't have a mother, we wouldn't be able to be here. And we take one day a year to recognize and are grateful for our mothers, but really, every single day of the year, we could recognize our mothers and be grateful for the impact that they have on us because they are so important to us. Without them, we wouldn't be here today. And whether we want to thank our biological mother, a spiritual mother, a grandmother, or a mother figure, right, we need to take today and thank them for all that they've done for us, because they've had an impact on our lives. I can remember back to when I was a kid, and I would wake up with really achy legs. My knees would ache. My brother, my sister, same thing, botrytis gene, I guess you could say. We would often wake up middle of the night, and our legs would ache, and first thing I would do is go downstairs and climb in bed next to my mom, and my mom would sit there and rub my legs. I don't have any eggs that she could rub. She would rub my legs for hours, and I just think of that sacrificial time. Like, I never once heard her complain, like, I didn't get the sleep that I needed last night because I was rubbing his legs. Like, no, she just sat there and rubbed my legs. Or how about the time when Chrissy and I first got married, and we were down in North Carolina, and Chrissy got the flu. She was really sick, and she was crying, and so I asked what she needed. She said some toast, so I made some toast, and I brought it to her, and she really started crying when I brought her toast because I didn't cut it the right way. I didn't cut it in the little triangles like her mom did. Like, these are the things that moms know, right? They know us. And I think about those days when I'm home often on Wednesdays, and Chrissy goes into the office one day a week, and that's Wednesday. And the kids, so I'm home alone with the kids, and, you know, they need something. So what do? They call Chrissy, right? They don't come to me and ask, hey, Dad, do you know where this is, or can you help me do this? They'll call Chrissy and be like, hey, Mom, can you help me do this? And it's like, I'm right here. So then they call her, and then she has to text me, be like, hey, could you check with Annalise or Wyatt or Blake? They need this. It's like, wait, this is our moms, right? The sacrificial love that they do for us as children. Moms just know us. They understand us better than anybody else, and they know how to make us feel better. And that's our moms. That's why we celebrate Mother's Day, I think, right? Many of those reasons in there. Mother's Day, for those of you that don't know, it's the second Sunday in May, which is today, just in case you're not sure. And it's a day to honor and appreciate the sacrifices and contributions of mothers that they make for us. It's a time to express gratitude and love for mothers for their role in shaping families and also shaping society around us. Does anybody know who established Mother's Day? It's not Hallmark, no. Anna Jarvis. She was the first Mother's Day celebrated as service of worship at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Anybody know when? No, close. May 10th, 1908. So just a little over 100 years. And then Woodrow Wilson officially made it the second Sunday of May in 1914. And that's the reason why we celebrate it ever since then in May. So the title of my message today is A Heartfelt Thank to All You Moms. We are so grateful and appreciative of all that you do for us. As we explore Mother's Day today, I have three topics that we're going to look at: faith, fear, and future. And if you notice, they all start with F. I don't normally do that, but I was able to make it work this week to help you remember, mothers. Thank you, Aaron, for jumping in and reading that text for us this morning. And that's going to be our main study of text this morning, is 1 Samuel 1. And as we study and go through that, I want you to really pay attention to Hannah, because she's a mother in this situation. So we're going to look at that. Quick background on what's happening here in 1 Samuel. Hannah, she's married to Elkanah, and he also has another wife. Don't recommend that. Her name is Peninnah. And Peninnah, she had children, but Hannah couldn't have children. And the Bible tells us that Peninnah would make fun of or rub it in her face, in Hannah's face, that she couldn't have children. And this would obviously get Hannah very upset. And this is where we picked up in verse 9 there. Quick side note, on verse 8, if you look there, Elkanah is questioning Hannah as to why she's so upset. And he's like, don't you know that I'm better than 10 sons? And so I just want to let you know that this is biblical, that men are sometimes clueless, right? We really are. Sometimes we just don't understand. So let's go ahead and get into our scripture reading. 1 Samuel 1, verse 9. On one occasion, Hannah got up after they ate and drank at Shiloh, the priest Eli was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. Notice Hannah's first reaction. She's upset, obviously, but what does she do? She prayed. She goes to the Lord. And this should be our first reaction in every instance of our life, whether it's a joyful one, whether it's a sad one, whether we're just like, eh. That should be our first reaction, is to go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, there's people all around us that we can go to and seek advice from and listen to and pray with, but our first reaction should be go to the Lord. That's why he's our God. He wants us to go to him. Verse 11. Making a vow, she pleaded, Lord of armies, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut. So as we look here, Hannah has taken up the Nazirite vow, which includes a couple of things. First one is that it's abstinence from any grapevine product. So this shows self-control and that you're not going to give in to necessarily the pleasures of the world. The second thing that this Nazirite vow does is it no part in mourning of the dead, or you don't come near a dead body. So you're keeping your body undefiled. You're not going to go near those bodies. And then the third thing is that they never cut their hair during this time. Typically, a Nazirite would be during that time period of ages 30 to 50 years, but there are people, there's two of them in the Bible that we know about that are dedicated for life. Do we know who those two people are? Samuel's one, and Samson's the other one. Yeah, so those are two cases that we know that are dedicated for life. In this case, Hannah is going to dedicate her son Samuel that she's going to have to the Lord for his life. But I also think that this shows us the uniqueness of calling on each of our lives, right? Samson and Samuel are very unique in that they were dedicated for their whole life. Some people are dedicated for their whole life to the Lord. Some people come to the Lord later on when they're 30, 50, 70, 90, or when they're in their teens. It just shows that we're all different and that God calls us each at our own times. So don't worry if you're like, I was 80 when I came to the Lord. That's okay. We're all different and unique in that aspect. Verse 12. When she continued praying in the Lord's presence, Eli watched her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, and though her lips were moving, her voice could not be heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to be drunk? Get rid of your wine. Okay, let's look at this little set of scriptures here as we dig into it. So Hannah was praying silently, showing us that when we pray without speaking out loud, the Lord is still listening. The Lord still hears us. Notice the reaction of Eli. How long will you be drunk? Why is this his first reaction? How many times do we misjudge people based on what we see them doing or we're not sure what they're doing? Driving. How many of you are driving and you do something dumb, right? You pull out in front of someone, you're like, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You're like apologizing to them as you're, sorry. But then when someone pulls out in front of you, what's your first reaction? You idiot! Is it just me? Okay. That's our first reaction, right? Of things, we're misjudging people based on what we see. And I think Eli here is misjudging Hannah on what he sees, what he thinks. I also think that that's a sign of the times, right? How many people might have come to the Lord's temple drunk? full battery life now, so we should be good. But how many times do we misjudge people? And Eli is clearly misjudging Hannah here. But why is he misjudging her? The times, but also as we read farther into this book of Samuel, we're going to find out that we're not going to do it today, but you could study, go into the next chapter, and you could find out that Eli has two sons, right? And those two sons are not good sons. And I think he might be projecting some of that judgment from his sons onto other people. So we need to be careful about how we judge other people around us. Verse 15. "No, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman with a broken heart. I haven't had any wine or beer. I've been pouring out my heart before the Lord. Don't think of me as a wicked woman. I've been praying for the depth of my anguish and resentment." Notice the respect that Hannah has. She doesn't say, "No, you idiot. How dare you accuse me of that? That's not who I am." She says, "No, my Lord." She could have absolutely jumped down his throat and said no, but she respects him. "I didn't have anything to drink," but instead she shows respect and politely responds to this accusation against her. She was pouring out her heart, her anguish and sorrow to God, instead of letting it build into bitterness of soul and anguish. Verse 17. Eli responded, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request you've made of him. May your servant find favor with you," she replied. Then Hannah went on her way. She ate and no longer looked despondent. Notice Eli's response as well. "May God grant your request." He didn't say that this isn't going to happen. He didn't say that what you're asking is impossible. He said, "May God grant your request to her." He didn't say that you're a crazy lady for thinking this. "May God grant your request." Oftentimes when people come to us, how many of us have ever said those words like that, that we've talked to someone and they've told us about a dream that they have, something they want to do, and we're like, "Yeah, that's not going to happen." Right? But I love Eli's response here. "May God grant your request. You've been pouring out your heart to him." Does Eli know that she's going to have a child? No. But he goes to her and says, "May God grant your request." And then Hannah ate and no longer looked despondent. She trusted in the Lord for what was to come, whether she was going to have a child or not. She didn't know, but she was trusting fully in God and fully in him alone that whatever was to come was going to be okay. Verse 19. The next morning, Elkanah and Hannah got up early to worship before the Lord. Afterward, they returned home to Ramah. Then Elkanah was intimate with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. After some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel because she said, "I requested him from the Lord." So she got up. She worshiped the Lord after pouring her heart out to the Lord. She knew that no matter what happened, she was going to trust in him. She knew that no matter what happened, that God was still her God. If you look there in those verses, it says, "after some time." What is meant by this? So after some time, does this mean that God forgot about her? No, absolutely not. Just a way of making it so that we can understand as humans, like some time went by, God certainly did not forget about her. God knows everything about her. He knows every hair on her head, right? He didn't forget about her at this time period. But after some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. Hannah's prayer was answered. She didn't give up on the prayer. Instead, she waited with patience. And she didn't lose faith. Hebrews 6:12 tells us that faith and perseverance are extremely important, so that you won't become lazy, but will be imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. We're also told in James 5:16 that our prayers are very powerful. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Notice Hannah kept praying. She didn't give up. She poured out her soul to the Lord. Back to our scripture. When Elkanah and his household went up to make the annual sacrifice and his vow offering to the Lord, Hannah did not go and explain to her husband, "After the child is weaned, I'll take him to appear to the Lord's presence and stay there permanently." So in this time period, the child probably would have been weaned about 2, most likely more closer to 3 years old. I'm sure that Hannah was probably in no desire to like speed up this process, right? Because she knows that she's going to give up her child. But she also knows that she made a vow, so she's not going to go back on that. Verse 23. Her husband, Elkanah, replied, "Do what you think is best and stay here until you've weaned him. May the Lord confirm your word." So Hannah stayed there and nursed her son until she weaned him. His response here, a smart husband, right, will fully support his wife. Do what you think is best, but most importantly, may the Lord confirm your word. I can remember back to times when Christy and I have gone through some tough times, and she at one time was having some difficulty at work. And we had talked about what she should do, and I remember saying to her, like, if you have to quit your job, I completely understand. I will support you fully. And just saying those words took the relief and took the pressure off from her, and that having a supportive husband can make such a world of difference for a wife. And this is what Elkanah is doing here, is that he is supporting his wife. Do what you think is best and stay here until you've weaned him. But may the Lord confirm your word, right? We want to be in the will of God our Father. Verse 24. When she had weaned him, she took him with her to Shiloh, as well as a 3-year-old bull, half a bushel of flour, and a clay jar of wine. Though the boy was still young, she took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. Wow, what a difficult time for Hannah here. Think about where she is. She doesn't have a son. She's prayed for the son. She finally gets a son, but she made a vow to the Lord that she would give him to her, that she would give the boy to the Lord. And now she's going to take this offering and offer it as well to the Lord. But she didn't back down from the vow that she made to the Lord. She's going to stay true to it. Notice that she also brought enough to worship the Lord with. Some versions, if you look at them, will say that they brought 3 bulls with them, one to as a burnt offering, and then the other ones as a cleansing and consecration for Samuel. It depends on which versions you look at. Some say a 3-year-old bull, some say 3 bulls. So just a little difference there. Verse 26. "Please, my Lord," she said, "as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked for, I now give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." Then he worshiped the Lord there. As difficult as it was for Hannah to give her child to the Lord, she still worshiped the Lord through the process, knowing that without the Lord, she would not have a child. So she's going to worship the child, worship the Lord there. She trusted in the Lord that his plans for Samuel were better than anything that she could do on her own. A godly mother doesn't cling to control, but surrenders her children to the Lord and what the Lord's path is for them. So point number one today is based on faith. Never give up on a prayer and trust the Lord. Hannah continued on with this prayer, her persistent prayer for a child, her vow and follow through to dedicate Samuel to the Lord. A praying mother is powerful, and your faith can shape generations. My grandmother has been a Christian pretty much my entire life. I don't remember any time that she wasn't a Christian. And she's been married to a good, godly man who I've known pretty much my whole life. And my grandma knows that I haven't always followed the Lord, right? So she's been praying for me. One of the things that she loves to do is go down to Guatemala. And she went down to Guatemala as part of a mission trip down there with Avon Wesleyan Church. For 15 years, she would go down there. And she would say that's her happy place. And every year, she would get the pastors and the people down there on the mission trip to pray. And as she would pray for me that I would come to know the Lord. And two summers ago, when we were down there, she couldn't go. She wanted me to go. And so Wyatt and I were able to go down to Guatemala. And as we were there, the pastor was speaking, and he stopped. And he said, "Josh, you're Winnie's grandson." And I said, "Yes, I am." And as he stopped, he looked at me and said, "You are an answered prayer. You don't know how many times we've been praying for you." Your grandma would come down every year and pray. And she was praying on her own too, but she would pray every year on this mission trip that I would come to know the Lord and that I would get to be able to go on this mission trip. Fortunately, I never got to go with my grandma because she's 90 now and her health isn't the best. But her prayers allowed me to come and see the Lord and be able to go on this mission trip. And this is what a mother's prayers are. So continue to give up. Be faithful. Don't give up on a prayer and trust the Lord that he is going to do what you're asking for. I want to encourage all of our mothers and grandmothers out there to persevere in prayer and trust in God's timing. As I think about my grandmother and her prayers, it didn't just change my life, but Wyatt's life as well. He's gone down to Guatemala for the past two summers. He's going to go again this summer. And he just absolutely loves it down there. But then I also think about the prayers that she prayed for me to come to know the Lord. This prayer not only changed my life, but it changed my family's life as well, right? For future generations as we continue to be impacted by the Lord. So the prayer of a mother is powerful. For our next point, let's turn to Proverbs 31. Looking specifically, we're going to look at Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. We're not going to read through all those. These verses, they're an acrostic poem, and each begin with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. Think like A is for apple, B is for bus, but using the Hebrew alphabet. And I don't know the Hebrew alphabet, so I'm not going to even attempt to tell you this alphabet. This poem was organized probably so that way it would be easier to memorize. It's an alphabet of a wifely excellence. And this wisdom was passed down from Bathsheba down to Solomon, her son, to help guide him as he looked for a wife. And I look at this list, and it's not a list of what every woman should be, because I think it would be impossible for every woman to be all these things. But it's good to try and strive to do some of these things. And men, you don't get away so easy, because there's a list in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 for men, and there's no way that we could excel in all those things, so don't expect your wife to excel in all these things as well, or your mother to excel in all these things. We're going to look at just Proverbs 31, just the very ending of it, verses 28 through 30. And if you look back, you can read through, and we could spend the next hour studying that first part of Proverbs, but we're not going to. And let me sum it up for you really quickly. is that a wife of noble character, she's hardworking, wise, caring, and spiritually grounded. That's all that it's saying in through there. But let's look at Proverbs 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her because of all the good that she does. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. Let's think about that for a second. We all look at our wives, right, and we fall in love with them because they're beautiful to us. But I certainly hope that's not the only reason why you fall in love with them and you decide to marry them. Because as the scripture here tells us that charm and beauty, they're not bad, right? They're probably what attracted us to our wife first. But they're simply inadequate reasons to marry a woman. The young man should first seek a woman who first seeks the Lord. That's what it's telling us there. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. To me, and I hope to all of us here, if you're a young man looking for a wife, this should be the very first thing that you look for. Does this woman fear the Lord? The fact that she truly fears the Lord and has a real relationship with him, she's a Martha doing, but she's also a Mary that has a relationship with the Lord. Every woman should have this desire in their heart first, to fear the Lord. Every husband can look to their wife and be like, I have the best wife possible. Every child can look to their mother and be like, I have the best mother possible. Not because of all the things that they do, but because they have a relationship with the Lord and they fear the Lord. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? Because as you look at it, you're like, fear the Lord? I'm so struck in awe that I can't move, that I can't function. No, it's a healthy fear. Fear of the Lord doesn't refer to the fearful dread of God, but rather a deep respect, awe, and reverence for his greatness and holiness. It's a recognition of God's powerfulness and a motivation to obey him and live a life pleasing to him. This fear is not a paralyzing terror, but a foundation for wisdom, trust, and a positive relationship with our God. Her devotion to the Lord and living a life pleasing to God should be apparent and the most important characteristic of any wife, of any woman that calls himself a Christian. If you can't look at their life and you can't see that they're devoted to the Lord, then I'm going to question, are they really a Christian? Because this is what we're called to be, a life devoted to God. You don't have to be a perfect mother or wife, rather a woman that is devoted to Christ. That's our highest calling that we have, a life devoted to Christ. So point number two I have for us, based on fear. Fear of the Lord is most important. For point three, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy 1:5. And this is a letter from Paul to Timothy today. And Timothy, he was an early leader in the church. And let's see what Paul wrote to him. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced it is in you also. Paul's impressed with Timothy. What's he impressed about here? What's it say? Yeah. Sincere faith. But where did this sincere faith come from? How did he learn this sincere faith? It was first in his mother and his grandmother, and then in his mother. And I'm now convinced it's in you also. God blesses surrendered hearts. The Bible tells us here that he got this from his grandmother and then from a youthful age because they taught him scripture. The greatest gift that you can give your child is not a perfect life. I want to buy everything for my child. I want to give them everything. I want to give them a perfect life. Never seen anything bad. Never experiencing any hurt, right? That's what we desire for our children. But the most important thing that we can do is for our children is a life centered around Christ. And I think that's what Paul is saying to Timothy here, that your mother, your grandmother brought you up so well that their faith was passed on to you. But we'll get to that in a second. Point number three, future. A God-fearing mother can leave a lasting legacy. The things that a mother teaches her children, they're going to certainly have an impact on them. But the legacy can have internal implications. I want to be clear here, though, looking at this scripture, that faith is not inherited. You cannot, no matter how good of a mother you are, you cannot pass your faith onto your children. It must be received personally. But mothers, you play a huge role in that. The things you teach your children are going to be with them for a long time. So you are going to teach them your faith, and then they'll develop their own faith as they grow up. Worship team, you can come on up as we get ready to close. I'm sure that there's mothers in this room here that probably feel tired at certain times, weary, or run down, or even unnoticed. But God sees you, and he knows all that you do. You're giving your children the best that you can, the best that you know how to give them. Maybe you're a woman that wants to be a mother. You've been longing to be a mother for years. I want to encourage you, just as Hannah prayed, to go to the Lord and keep praying to him. Give it to God. Maybe you're a mother that has lost a child, or your child no longer speaks to you, or they've walked away from the Lord. God knows this as well. Go to him and seek him and comfort. And there's probably mothers out there that are spiritual mothers to those around them. No matter what your role is, every word, prayer, and act of love is sowing seeds in the next generation. Don't give up or abandon what you are doing. Moms, continue to be intentional about reaching your children or those that you feel are children around you, sharing the gospel with those children that you love and know. Whether it's daily prayer, whether it's through worship, whether it's through reading the scripture, model Christ to those around you. We're going to go into our last song, and then I'll come up and end.